I was saying to Ragnar that it would have been nice to just sit for a long time in the meditation. I was really enjoying the silence. The silence that is it's a funny word, silence, because it implies some kind of absence of sounds, absence of noise. But the kind of silence that we sit with and we practice with is a silence that's filled with everything. You know, it's a silence. It's a silence that can hold everything. That's what it's. It's more of an open space silence that is just so vast that it can hold everything. So even if there's noise, we call noise or sounds from the outside, the silence can hold that, the silence of the mind, the heart, or whether it's our own thinking, the silence can hold that, or emotions or sensations, whatever it is. So it's a big silence, not a silence that implies the absence necessarily, but really a fullness, and it's a silence that's filled with awareness, filled with consciousness. And I was giving some time to think about what I was going to share with you this evening, and it wasn't so easy to come up with anything in particular. I just wasn't sure what to talk about this evening, because the Buddha Dharma, the teachings of the Buddha, is so vast. There's just so many different parts of the teachings that are beautiful and relevant and useful. And which one to choose? Like, which one to choose of this, you know, beautiful offering of teaching? So I wasn't sure. And it's all part of it, you know, just let it go and see what happens. And then I sat down and listened to this wonderful kirtan, this music that was offered to us this evening. And then the words that I remember, all the words I remember is, the light of love is home. I'm not sure what the other words were. Light of love is home. And I thought, that's all I want to talk about. The light of love is home. I mean, that was such a beautiful offering of the words for the evening. We could call the evening this the light of love is home, or the love of light. The love of light. Home is the love of light. I mean, you could change that all different kinds of ways. And I think why it particularly struck me when I heard it is because I had the very, very good fortune of being up on the glacier last night at 12 o'clock, midnight. Asta and Thorin offered me this wonderful gift of going up. What's the name of the glacier?
Snæfellsjökull.
Mm-hmm. The one closest, I suppose. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so we took a snow car with a group of people who went up to see the midnight sun. And we left about, we left about 11 o'clock. And we're up on the mountain within half an hour, 40 minutes, we're up at the top of the glacier at 20 to midnight. And the light, first it was very, very, very thick with clouds. I mean, the whole sky was just thick with clouds. So we went through the clouds, and we couldn't see anything. And then as we're going up, then it just broke. And it was, there it was. It was just crystal light everywhere. And after being in a whole day, really, where it was cloud cover, as I was saying on the retreat, 100% cloud cover. And then to have the light break open. And it's very much like our own mind. that sometimes there's 100% cloud cover, and it's you can't really see much of anything at all. It's just rather just thick with fog and dullness and cloudiness, and then there can be this break where the sun of the mind shines through, and everything is bright and everything is illuminated. And this is how it was. It was like being in the most pure and brilliant consciousness, mind, last night. Like the universe was the mind, was consciousness. And it was vast and boundless and infinite, and there was this crystal, brilliant, radiant ball of light there was nothing distorting, nothing in the way. Everything, there was no pollution, which is what I'm so used to, or even electric pollution, light, electric light pollution. But to have the whole vast sky just filled with this brilliant light was like being in the pure consciousness, the pure crystal consciousness of our own mind. And I was saying to Asta, it was like the sky with the sun last night, so brilliant, was like a mirror. It was just really like a mirror. It was when we look at a mirror, and a clean mirror, a very clean mirror, it reflects back. It's a reflection, and it reflects back to us what's here in the image of the mirror. And this sky last night was like a mirror reflecting back the purity of my own mind and the mind of all of us, the pure mind. And it was just really something I will never forget. It was a gift, really, a great gift to have that kind of experience and be able to stay up there. We stayed up there about 45 minutes, and we were able to see the sun just starting to go down to the clouds, just a little bit down to the clouds. And we had to leave even before, a little bit too early, I thought. But it was already 12:30, and it was, 1:30 before we actually got back to the room and to the bed. So as I sit now, there's just this sense of the sunlight, the sunlight reflection that really is our home. Is our home. This the light of love. The light of love is home. It's like awareness. This awareness. This consciousness that is so bright within our own mind. It shines on everything equally. Awareness shines on everything equally without distinction, without preference, without wanting this or that or needing this or that. It's just this shines on everything equally, this light, which is love. When we speak of love, I for a long time I was teaching retreats that were called Awareness is Love. Awareness is Love. And it was this light of love, this light of awareness, this light of love, because the awareness doesn't pick and choose what it's going to pay attention to. It doesn't pick and choose what it likes and what it doesn't like. But awareness is simply present with whatever is here. Whatever is here. This is love. This is the expression of love. When we're not saying, this is okay, but this isn't okay. I like this, but I don't like that. I want this, but I don't want that. That's preferences. That's liking and disliking. I like it, I don't like it. I like it, I don't like it. And this is what our ordinary thinking, our ordinary mind does. The ordinary mind, our conventional mind, the mind that we are engaged with every day, the mind that is telling us what to do and where to go and how things are, and tells us about the past and tells us about the future and the memories and the plans, there's a lot of liking and disliking, a lot of picking and choosing in that mind. And when we are not connected, or not, we don't know about awareness, this awareness, the awareness that is the sun, in a way, it's the sun of our own mind that lights everything up. Why can we see anything? Why can we feel anything or know anything? Something has to show us that. So there has to be a light or a space or something that we can start to. These things come into being. These things come into manifestation, and we can know that. So this awareness is what knows. I can know what I'm feeling. I can know what I'm thinking. I can know what I'm hearing. I can know what I'm seeing. And before we move into the picking and choosing and the liking and not liking, there is simply knowing. I just know. I know what I'm seeing, I know what I'm hearing, like the sound of the cars, of the traffic on the roads. I know that I'm hearing that. What comes next is the movement of our ordinary mind that likes it or doesn't like it, that thinks it should be there or shouldn't be there, that when I'm meditating, there shouldn't be any other noise. When I'm meditating, I should find some kind of place that is absolutely quiet. Then I can meditate. I can't meditate when there's noise. This isn't awareness doesn't care. The pure mind doesn't care. It's only this sense of what we say, sense of me. The me, the I, who I come in and say, I care. I want this, I don't want that. So in our meditation, in the practice, we see if we can kind of rest back into the knowing, rest back into the pure awareness, rest back into the simple recognition of what is, what's here. This is what we do in our meditation, as much as we possibly can, to see if we can not just keep following all of our likings and dislikings. And I was talking about this on the retreat because it's really like, you don't have monkeys here. But you know, monkeys were in India during the time of the Buddha, and they're still there, and they're very, very troublesome. And there's the analogy of the monkeys, they're just swinging in the trees and in the vines and the wires, and they're always looking for something. They're always looking for something to take or to steal or something sweet to eat. They're so busy, the monkeys. I've spent a lot of time in India, and you have to be careful putting anything outside the door because the monkeys will come and take it. Shoes, you can't, even when I was walking down just carrying a bag of some fruit, some bananas, and a monkey came and just swiped it away. I want those. And they're very, very mischievous in that way, and they're very determined, going after what they want. And they just swing from tree to tree, from branch to branch, just looking for that next thing they can take. Right? This is just like the mind. Just like this mind, just like our own mind. It's like swinging from branch to branch, from tree to tree. What can I land on? What can I get? What can I take? What can I own? What can I make for me? It's all for me. What can I get for me? And when we are caught in that mind, then this is how our experience is like. On the retreat, I was talking about how that comes through the body. We have a thought, the thought or the image, the picture, and it moves the body. It's like the neurons, the brain. The pathways start to go into time, and then we find the whole body starts to move towards that thing. That's what we call reality, or what's real. We just move. We just move towards the thing. We have a thought and we go. Have a thought and we go. Right? And unless there is something else, which we call awareness, that can know, awareness can know, oh, I'm having a thought, this body is about to move. For example, I want a cigarette, I want a drink, I want a chocolate, I want cake, I want... And then there's the thought, the awareness, I'm having a thought, this body is starting to move, do I want to go with it, or don't I? Only with awareness, that awareness that can just know, that can see what's going on, there's no choice unless that awareness is there. We are inhabit. This is the problem, this is the predicament for us as human beings, is that we are habitual creatures, animals are habitual. In our most primitive way of being as animals, we just learn habits. And we just go along doing the same thing again and again. I went on the retreat, I was saying the same old, same old, same old. Just repeating, repeating, repeating. And then sometimes we feel very bored or stale or stuck, or like we've lost our joy, we lose our joy. And so as awareness, as we practice with mindful awareness, we can start to know what we're doing. To know this is the higher brain. This is the evolution of consciousness, the raising of consciousness, is that we start to use another part of our brain, rather than just the lower brain, the animal reptile brain, which is the habit. We start to use more of our brain. This is what neuroscience is finding. And as we use more of our brain, we're going to use more of the higher brain. And then we can see, we can know, we can pay attention. That's the, as human beings, we are evolving, although sometimes I'm not sure. It seems like we're evolving. Rather than just being caught in animal behavior, you know, of fight, flight, and freeze, survival, you know, and always trying to make sure that we're comfortable and secure and have all the food we need and everything we have, you know, everything we need around us. But as we evolve, consciousness evolves, awareness evolves. We have more awareness. Awareness means that then we can start to know what's happening. And when we know what's happening, we can do things differently. We can make choices. But until we know, we are in animal behavior, which is repetitive. We call in Buddhism, on the wheel, you know Buddhist teachings, you know, the wheel of birth and death. You're just going round and round and round and round. And it's painful and stressful and uncomfortable and unsatisfactory. And when we can actually, we have this potential as human beings to have this self-reflective consciousness, this mirror consciousness, where we can actually see what's happening. This is the light of consciousness, the light of awareness that can, like a mirror, that can see the world. See the world out there and in here, the world in the body and the mind and the external world can know this. It's like a mirror. And then we can make choices. And when, hopefully, when we see clearly what we're doing and we connect more fully with our whole being, our heart and our body and knowing what's happening, we will make choices that are good choices and healthy choices and wise choices, not only for ourselves, but for those that we love and those that we're close to and for the world. Otherwise, we do the same thing again and again. And if there's one kind of mantra is some sacred words to reflect on, some reflection. If there is something to reflect on, it would be the question of what can I do differently? What can I do differently? Because unless we're asking that question, we may not even consider that we can do something differently. Because we just get into these same pathways, these same habits, these same ways of being. And so with awareness, we can start to reflect, say, well, this is my life, this is my world, what would I like to see different? And then from our awareness, which brings clear seeing, it brings compassion for what's here, it brings wisdom for what we see, perhaps then we can respond and engage in our experience and in our life and in this world in a way that is actually going to make a difference in a healthy way, in a good way, in a compassionate way, in a wise way. But when we look at our world, we can see what happens when we do things the same way again and again. And I'm talking about the big picture of the world, this big picture of our world, which is filled with greed and hatred and so much confusion. So much confusion that we do things to ourselves and to other people that are so painful and cause so much suffering through our speech and through our actions. And each one of us have the seeds of that within our own mind. We have the seeds of greed, we have the seeds of hatred and the seeds of confusion within our own mind. And if we're not seeing this, if we're not aware of it, then these act out, they play out. And that is painful, that causes suffering. But we also have the seeds in our mind of letting go of our things that we hold on to. We have the seeds in our mind of love rather than hate. We have the seeds in our mind of wisdom rather than confusion. And if we are aware of that, those then act out, those play out. And so with awareness we can see, okay, what's happening? What's happening now? And what do I want to follow and what don't I want to follow? How can I bring about, we can bring about more joy and more happiness and more well-being in our lives and in our experience and those of us, those around us, once we start to become more aware of what's happening. So the whole of the meditation that we do here, this practice, is that question: what's happening? What's happening? And when we talk about what's happening, we talk about now. Now. This moment. Present moment. Present moment awareness. Present moment awareness. Here and now. Here and now. Here and now. Because the past is already finished. It's gone. The past is gone. We can't change that. And if we spend a lot of time trying to change the past or rewrite the past, it usually doesn't work. It doesn't work. It takes a lot of energy and a lot of effort and it doesn't work. So better just drop it, move on. Let's move on. And not to move on too far in the future, because the future isn't here yet. It's still just in the mind. Ideas, plans, fantasies in the mind. It's not here yet. So better just to see what's happening now. This is something that we can do something about. This is workable. This is manageable. Right? So our practice is, what's happening now? What's happening here? And is there something I can do different? Is there something I can do different? And is it, it can either be something that's happening right in the moment, or it could be something that is happening with some other people close to us or a situation. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, I have a mother who is 90 years old, and 4 years ago she was living on the East Coast of America in a situation that wasn't very good for her, wasn't very healthy for her. She was starting to have some difficulties with her physical body, and she needed some help, she needed some care. And we put her in a family member's home. We thought maybe that would be a good situation for her. And it just for 1 year, 1.5 years, she wasn't getting good care. She wasn't really being looked after very well. She was just going down. She was going down. And I was seeing this. I was watching it. I was connected, aware of what was happening. And it was really hurting my heart. I felt a lot of pain that she was in a situation. It was far away. I live on the West Coast of America. She was on the East Coast of America. And my heart was just hurting. I couldn't see her just staying in this situation. But she was with a family member, so it was difficult saying, Mom can't be there anymore. I'm taking her. It's very delicate. So, but it got to the point where I knew that I could see my mother was just going down and down and down, and I said, I'm going to take her. I'm just going to take her. I couldn't negotiate it. I couldn't talk about it with a family member, so I just said, okay, we have to take her. So that action, you know, the action from my heart and from my love and from my compassion, we just set up a situation with another member and let this person who was taking care of her know that I was coming, and I packed my mother up and I took her. It was like I kidnapped her. So took her to the West Coast, And we put her in this home, and she's so happy. This was 2 years ago. She's so happy. The first night I put her in the house, I put her in the bed. She has very good care around her. And she tucked her in bed. And she looked up at me. She said, "You know, I was ready to die. I thought, I lived enough in my life. I've had enough experiences. It's okay to die now. But now I want to live to 100. She was like, "Yes, I'm so happy to be alive." And 1 year later, she met a man, got married. Just got married 6 months ago now. Moved into the room with the man. Is so happy. It's like a whole new life. A whole new life. After 1.5, 2 years. And she's just, she wants to live to 100. So sometimes the action, it may not look like, you know, it's present moment compassion. But when we feel the heart and listen deeply, just keep listening deeply, sometimes we just have to take that action. That action moves towards more health and well-being and goodness, not only for oneself, but for the ones that we love as well. So what can we do differently? What can I do differently? I could, if I just let her be there, just let it be, let it be, let it be, she probably would be dead, I think. I'm sure. I'm sure she would be dead now. She had no reason to live. So what can we do differently? We don't have to. There's sometimes in the meditation we think, just let it be. Let it be. Just come to acceptance. No interference. Just let it be. But when we really listen and feel and sense what's here, then that can move us into some good action. It moves us into good action. When we're connected to the heart, connected to the wisdom, connected to our awareness, maybe then something can happen that we can make a difference. Make a difference, not only for ourselves, but for this world. For this world. So I think this is the light of love. This awareness, the light, like the sunlight, the brilliant light that illuminates, that shines, that is like a mirror that allows us to see what's real, what's true. And that awareness that shines equally on all things, that loves all things. And as I feel that and sense that and connect with that, then I can move into action from that light of love. That light of love is moving me. The light of love moves me into action that is for the benefit of all beings, the benefit of all beings everywhere. I trust that. I believe that. I have faith in that. And this keeps me home. Right? This keeps me home. The light of love is home. Keeps me home in the present moment. I'm here. I'm here. So that's what wanted to be said tonight. And maybe, I know it's 20 to 10. Is it okay to take a few questions just to see? Mm-hmm. Okay. If anyone has to leave, please feel free. If you have to go, it's a little bit later than we had anticipated. But I just want to see if there's any questions. Anything you want to ask or anything you want to say this evening? Because sometimes it's good to hear a little bit from you too. Even your own experience that might be similar to what I was saying tonight. Any way that this makes sense to you or it doesn't make sense to you. I could just open it up. Mm-hmm. Any comments?
I had a strange experience on Sunday morning. Closure of the retreat. I went very deep into meditation, and I thought I touched, you know, being or whatever, you know, state, being state. And then when I thought about it, that I was in there, I dropped out. So I went more into physical awareness, you know. Is that normal, you know, that you maybe fluctuate?
When you say that you went deep into your meditation and then you dropped out,
yeah.
What do you mean you dropped out?
yeah, because I went out of this deep state.
You went out? Where did you go?
No, I just I don't know how to describe it.
you get some help.
Why don't you say when you got the thought got you coming out? The thought.
Yeah,
you start to think about it.
Yeah, the thought.
I can't get him recognize that.
Yeah, it's like the boundary between form and formless, you know, it's something like that.
So you went into the thought?
Sorry?
The thought got him out of the state.
Yes. Yeah. So you went in the thought?
Yeah.
Thinking that he was there.
Yeah, so you started thinking about it.
Yeah.
Right, okay. You started thinking about it.
That's right, yeah.
Uh-huh. So then you said, I came out of this deep space.
Yeah.
The thought was, I came away from this deep space.
The thought disturbed this state of...
Yeah.
Because maybe you lose your awareness.
Yeah.
Because what did you say?
You lose your awareness.
The awareness? Mm-hmm. What you can see in your meditation is that it's always changing.
Yeah.
It's always changing. You can't stay anywhere.
No. It's not one place.
It's not one place or one thing.
No. Okay.
Right? It's always changing.
Yeah.
And only when I was teaching, but this is a very interesting thing to reflect on. There are only 6 experiences that can happen. There's only 6. So 1 of 6 things are going to be happening. And it's always changing. So it's either going to be a sight, a sound, a smell, a taste, a sensation, a feeling, a sensation, or a thought. That's all that's ever happening. Right, those are the 5 senses and the mind. So body and mind. And mind sometimes, not only a thought, but pictures, images. Right? And it's always changing. So it's going to be one changing from 1 of those 6 things. So you can't hold on to anything.
Yeah.
So for you then, it's the same question, what's happening? Oh, there's a thought.
Yeah.
So any kind of thought that there is deep meditation already will cause you trouble.
Okay.
It's already troublesome.
Yeah.
Because then you'll have some comparison, some way to compare. You'll say, this isn't deep, this is deep.
Oh, okay.
And then you'll be like the monkey trying to go for the deep. Right? And it's just another thing you're just trying to get. Just another thing you're trying to get. So let that go too.
Mm-hmm.
Let go of deep meditation. It'll cause you trouble. Yeah. So, but that's this kind of meditation that we're teaching here is just to know what's happening. Just know what's happening. And then as you do that, that will make the awareness more stable and more continuous. You're actually making the awareness stronger. So then your clarity gets stronger. The light gets stronger. The light of clear seeing gets stronger.
Yeah.
That's all that matters. Right? It's
yeah.
the light of clear seeing. We want to brighten the light. Get the light stronger. Then there will be no problem. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Okay, thank you for your question. Good question.
I don't have a question, but I would like to say that I like the story that you told about your mother and how when you let the light come in, it led to action, some kind of action.
Mm-hmm.
Because often in life one is a bit worried about acting out.
Yeah.
So I like that story.
Yeah, and then it's then moment to moment to moment, particularly when you're going into more difficult situations, and of course with family, it always can be somewhat difficult, you know? And so when you're moving, the action takes you into something that's a little bit more difficult. Then it's moment to moment to moment with the connection with awareness, a connection with the kindness, connection with the wisdom, because at any moment it can go off. So it's really, it takes a great deal of awareness then. You really have to pay attention. Be very, very careful in the more difficult situations, because then it's more fragile, more challenging, right? And when it's easy, when it's pleasurable, when it's happy, we can be more relaxed. But when it's difficult, we have to pay even closer attention, right?
Can I ask, in that relation,
yeah.
Because you said you felt your mother was very in a bad situation,
yeah.
or not her best situation,
yeah.
and you had to act.
Yeah.
But I assume, and I'm assuming, that it must have hurt somebody
yes.
around.
Yes.
And in your awareness to evaluate your action,
yes.
knowing that somebody is hurt.
Somebody's going to be hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's always a right in evaluation,
yeah.
right?
Because you cannot go and think what somebody else thinks.
Well, there.
You cannot. Yeah. It's about,
you just again, you know, just doing the best you can under the circumstances with all the conditions, everything the way it is. What's the very best way of approaching this? What's the best way? Because we cannot make everybody happy. I mean, we learn that, we know that. We cannot make everybody's not going to be happy. So always it's going to be, somebody's going to be more happy than somebody else, right? So it's always a question, how do we make those choices? There's no right answer, but it's listening, very deep listening, and letting the love move. Letting the love move the body. letting the wisdom move the body, let the awareness move the body. If I go too much up in my thinking, I'll be in trouble again. So that's why we do so much practice with the body, you know, coming to the body, because then we can feel the heart, we can feel more of the quiet, the more quiet words, the quiet voices, and let that move. Because this is so loud. So loud. So we have to go very quiet, be very quiet, and then see how we want to move. It's not easy. None of this is easy. And maybe somebody's going to be hurt. But we're following the love and the wisdom and the awareness, and then what happens? It's not easy. Otherwise, we just stay back, because we don't want to hurt anybody. We don't want anybody, so we just stay back. But then something may not change, right? And we need change. We need change. Otherwise, the same old, same old. Yeah, I hope this is making sense. I'm sure it brings up some questions too, you know, but it takes time to really reflect on this and consider all of this and how do we put this into action? How do we make this real in our lives? How do we act with wisdom and compassion and awareness in our lives? Maybe we'll take, if there's one more question or comment tonight. It's a good conversation.